The Morning Early Birds, You've Caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in public media across the region, bringing you the latest headlines. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 12th of February, 2026, a Thursday. Recent data shows about 4,000 fewer Montanans purchased an Affordable Care Act health plan, roughly about a 5% decline. That decline is attributed to the loss of federal subsidies for monthly premiums. But Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports more people are expected to drop coverage.
Monthly premiums will be higher for many on ACA plans this year, even double in some cases. That's because Congress didn't renew enhanced federal subsidies. Catherine Hempstead with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation expects enrollment numbers will decline even further. She says some may never pay their first monthly premium because they simply can't afford it and lose coverage.
We'll see other people maybe more mindfully saying, well, I can keep this coverage going until March or something, and then I'm going to have to drop it.
Hempstead and other policy experts say data from states that run their own insurance marketplaces are already reporting declines from initial enrollment figures. More data on enrollment and the types of plans Montanans selected is expected later this spring. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
If you purchased an ACA plan or decided to drop coverage because of premium costs, Montana Public Radio would like to hear from you. You can find a link to reach out along with this story at mtpr.org. Cattle industry representatives say they need more workers. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler reports on how amending one foreign labor program may help.
The H-2A visa program allows foreign nationals to fill agricultural jobs in the U.S. for up to a year. Finding adequate farm labor is one of the biggest challenges producers face. This year, about 400 Montana producers requested workers from the H-2A program. Montana Stock Growers Association recently called on federal lawmakers to expand it. They hope to amend the program to include livestock auction markets and feedlots as host for the workers. Montana Stock Growers Executive Turk Stovall.
And the rule changing that we wanted to really bring to the forefront is there are businesses other than just your traditional farms and ranches that really need help from a labor standpoint.
Stovall says the program has grown more vital as the domestic labor supply continues to sputter.
If you're at the point of needing to hire foreign labor, you have exhausted every opportunity there is.
Other changes to the H-2A program are being considered, including changes to wage rates. Stovall believes the rule amendments will help keep operations involved in beef production up and running. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Three Idaho families are suing over an immigration raid of a horse racing track last year. They claim state and federal law enforcement used unconstitutional tactics, detaining people because they appeared to be Latino and keeping them in zip ties for hours without access to food, water, or bathrooms. The raid involved 200 officers and targeted a family-friendly event popular with the Latino community. The October raid came as part of an FBI-led investigation into allegations of illegal gambling, but only five people at the event were arrested in connection with the gambling investigation. More than 100 others were arrested on suspicion of immigration violations. The families, all U.S. citizens or lawful residents, are seeking class action status and damages. Montana's Republican Attorney General says he's investigating the city of Helena for potential violations of the state's sanctuary city ban. The Wednesday announcement comes after city officials passed a resolution last month discouraging cooperation with federal immigration authorities. The move comes amid heightened tensions over President Donald Trump's aggressive enforcement of immigration laws that sparked protests in many cities. Helena officials say they've not received official notice of the investigation. They say its resolution was approved following careful consideration of applicable local, state, and federal laws. Trump has said he intends to cut off federal funding for states home to sanctuary cities that resist his immigration policies. The latest snow melt forecast for the Bighorn River Basin in north-central Wyoming is not as optimistic as it was last month. The Bureau of Reclamation's forecast for April through July has only one basin at 100% of the 30-year average for runoff and one barely above 50%. The lowest forecast is for Bighorn Lake at 56%, down from 105% last month. Boisen Reservoir is down to 82%. Bull Lake Reservoir has dropped to 97%. While Buffalo Bill Reservoir is 100%, it's a drop, though, from 120% last month. BOR storage reservoirs in the basin have a combined storage capacity of more than 2.5 million acre feet. Most of that capacity is attributed to Bull Lake, Boisen, and Buffalo Bill reservoirs in Wyoming and Bighorn Lake in Montana. The Bighorn Basin is approximately 100 miles wide, bounded by the Absaroka Range on the west, the Pryor Mountains on the north, the Bighorn Mountains on the east, and the Wind River and Granite Mountains on the south. Amid a dry winter, many ski towns aren't seeing their typical flood of visitors. As Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mersbach reports, there are fears that the downturn could continue into the summer.
Across the West, the amount of water stored in snow is at its lowest winter point in decades, according to federal data. So there could be less water in rivers and reservoirs come summer, which could be bad for mountain towns where economies rely on water activities.
Rafting, fishing, sailing, water skiing.
Margaret Bowes leads the Colorado Association of Ski Towns, which also includes communities in Idaho, Utah, and Wyoming.
As thirsty metro areas pull water from some of our mountain reservoirs, that's less water for recreation.
Many tourism-dependent areas are already struggling amid the snow drought. Bowes says towns may need to find new activities in the winter and summer if the trend continues. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The federal government is hosting a meeting later this month to hear what the public thinks about improvement plans for the Tiber Marina at the Tiber Reservoir in north-central Montana. A Bureau of Reclamation news release says the plans are to boost recreational opportunities by increasing campsites and parking, improving the boat ramp, and building a concessionaire building. The improvement plans are the result of last summer's public scoping meeting, where the public voiced concerns over the existing facilities. The BOR is hosting a public meeting February 24th at the First Street Mercantile in Chester at 6 p.m. People will be able to attend in person or virtually. Public comment on the proposed improvements will be accepted until March 10th of 2026. Billings Symphonies season continues with the Sukan series tonight. The Symphony's popular Sukan series highlights chamber music, and Thursday evening's concert features the New York Philharmonic String Quartet. The renowned quartet comprises four principal musicians from the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, concertmaster Frank Huang, principal second violin group Jinjin Li, principal viola Cynthia Phelps, and principal cello Carter Bray. The group was formed in January 2017 during the Philharmonic's 175th anniversary season. The New York Philharmonic String Quartet made its debut as the solo ensemble in John Adams' Absolute Jest in New York in March of 2017. It reprised the work on the orchestra's Europe Spring 2017 tour. Mario Lopez, CEO for the Billings Symphony, says,
"They obviously played together every season as section leaders of this amazing orchestra. But to see them come together and just do a string quartet recital at the highest caliber you can probably attend, it is such a treat for us in Billings to get."
The New York Philharmonic String Quartet performs as part of the Billings Symphony Sukan series at Billings First Congregational Church this evening at 7 p.m. For more information, visit billingssymphony.org. A community arts theater in Billings is organizing a festival early next month for young playwrights and performers. The Nova Center for the Performing Arts Wednesday announced an invitation to youth ages 10 to 18 to write, act, and direct their own work. Nova will host 3 days dedicated to creating and executing one-act plays. The challenge is called Right on Time. Participants will learn the prompts on day one, write and rehearse on day two, and perform on day three. The festival runs from Friday, March 6th to Sunday, March 8th. Freestyle skier Jalen Kauf of Alta won her second silver medal yesterday in women's moguls. Kauf, who grew up skiing at Grand Targhee Resort, is the reigning silver medalist from the 2022 Beijing Games. The 29-year-old had to come back from 24th place earlier this week after losing control of her skis in a qualifying round. But yesterday morning, in Italy, she stood on the podium with teammate Elizabeth Lemley of Vail, Colorado, who won gold. After Breezy Johnson's win in women's downhill on Sunday, Jackson Hole athletes now have two medals. Kauf has another shot at a medal in dual moguls on Valentine's Day. A federal investigation found systemic problems in a Helena hospital that resulted in sexual abuse allegations against employees going undocumented for weeks or months. That's according to new reporting from Montana Free Press on St. Peter's Health in Helena. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy sat down with Montana Free Press reporter Mara Silvers to learn more.
So Montana Free Press has been following this story at St. Peter's Health for more than a year when a nurse at the hospital was fired after a patient accused him of sexually assaulting her a year earlier. Now it seems that this federal investigation you guys found uncovered more than just that one case. What did you learn?
Right. So this document basically describes four cases involving two staff members on different units in different parts of the hospital. And the details of one of those cases matches what we know about the events that led up to the firing of former St. Peter's nurse Erin Gams in 2024. Gams is now facing a criminal charge of a felony assault against a vulnerable adult in that case, and he's pleaded not guilty to that. But the federal inspection also linked that same staff member in that case, who they refer to as staff member A, to another complaint of sexual assault that happened in April of 2024. So that allegation was shared with multiple staff members at the time, but it was not reported higher up the chain until after Montana Free Press reported on Gams' arrest roughly 9 months later. There were also two descriptions of assault and inappropriate conduct towards patients by another nurse in the behavioral health unit, and federal inspectors said that those allegations were also never documented in formal complaints.
The main point of the federal report, Mara, was that these cases highlight what the report referred to as systemic failures within the hospital. What did investigators say those shortfalls were exactly?
Yeah, so I think what's important to keep in mind about a report like this from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is that this agency is responsible for examining hospitals and how those hospitals are functioning. So it's the hospital that has to meet federal standards in order to be able to bill public health insurance programs. And in that way, the report doesn't really litigate each of these accusations against the providers. The providers are kept anonymous, but what it really does is examine how those complaints were handled internally. And the finding at its core was that the hospital had repeatedly failed to appropriately document these complaints. And I think the most alarming result of that documentation and investigation gap was that this nurse, staff member A, who had been accused by a patient of sexually assaulting her, stayed on staff for about 6 months until another patient from the year prior came forward to accuse him of assaulting her as well.
Has the hospital faced any consequences from this investigation?
Yeah, so this inspection concluded in January of 2025. And when that happened, federal reviewers found reason to put St. Peter's in what they call immediate jeopardy status. And that designation basically put the hospital on the brink of losing the ability to bill public health insurance programs. But within a couple of days, St. Peter's had submitted a plan for correcting all of its missteps, which basically involved retraining everybody on staff for how to deal with sexual abuse reports. And federal regulators accepted that plan and then dropped the immediate jeopardy status just within a week or so. And we should say that a follow-up inspection about 6 months after found the hospital was still in compliance with that correction plan.
And now this information is being reported by you guys and discussed another 6 months after that. So it's been about a year since this investigation concluded. How is St. Peter's Health responding to your reporting?
So unfortunately, the hospital declined to make its administrators available for interviews with us for this reporting, and they didn't answer specific questions that we asked about timeline and when they knew certain things and how they handled certain cases. But generally, the hospital said that it did take action to address the complaints that it was aware of, even if it didn't document the allegations correctly. A spokesperson for the hospital in a series of emails with us said that the hospital terminated the contract of the behavioral health unit nurse, who was a traveling nurse, and reported her to the state licensing board. And it said it fully cooperated with law enforcement when necessary, which could refer to the ongoing criminal case against GAMS. And besides that, we haven't heard anything more from the hospital since our story published on Monday.
Mara, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Montana Free Press reporter Mara Silvers talking with Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy. For this interview and Austin's follow-up interview with the hospital, go to mtpr.org. That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.